Welcome back to the Anat Baniel Method for Backs. First, I want to congratulate you for your commitment and progress in this program. You're about to start lesson number 3. Please lie on your back. And remember, once again, we work gently, patiently, with lots and lots and lots of awareness, so that you can experience great learning, great changes in a very short period of time. Then when you go out to your life, you can use your new learning with force, without, powerfully, gently, quickly, slowly, whichever way you want. Now, I hope you're going to enjoy this lesson, doing it in a rainy morning. I hope the sound of the rain is going to be soothing for you. Scan yourself lying on the floor. Listen how your lower back is lying on the floor. Don't try to change anything. Don't contract your abdomen muscles trying to flatten your belly and press your lower back to the floor. It is quite useless to do, because the moment you stop doing it, the lower back will come right back up. However, I can fully appreciate the desire for the lower back to lie flatly on the floor, because when it doesn't, it means that our brain is continuously firing and commanding those muscles to contract, even though we're not needing to use them at the time. So it's a form of disturbance, actually, to the system, not a very serious one. Most humanity has this, especially at the end of a long day. But it feels so wonderful to get the brain to be really peaceful and quiet. So we'll see what occurs for you during this lesson. Bend your knees, put your feet standing. Put both hands behind the head, interlace the fingers behind the head. Lift the head with the help of the arms, bring the elbows closer one to the other, and feel how the lower back is lying on the floor now. Is it touching a little clearer? Now you may contract your abdomen muscle to help lift the head up, and keep it up like this and stay with the head up for a few seconds. Breathe freely and see if there are parts of the lower back touching the floor now that were not touching it before. Leave this alone, put the head down, lengthen the arms and the legs, and feel how the lower back is lying now. And probably it's different. Bend your knees, put your feet standing. Now, this lesson is like all of them, and this one maybe especially. The gentler you do it, the more you'll get, but it's not just doing it gently. You really need to be attentive, to listen, to stay awake to yourself and to what you're doing at all times. So very gently and gradually, let the left leg, left knee, sink outwards towards the floor. So you let the left leg sink sideways outwards towards the floor, and then at a certain moment you will feel that it's just the right moment to start lengthening the leg. That means straightening the knee until the leg doesn't have to be completely straight, but or could be, as you wish, but you straighten it down, not sideways. You drop the knee sideways, the sole of the foot leaves the floor, and then at a certain point you let the foot go down, the leg elongate down in the continuation of the spine, as if you were going to stand on that leg. And then you gently bend the knee and bend it sideways until such a moment when it feels the right time to pick up the knee off the floor and bring the leg back up to standing. And you do this many, 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 many times, very slowly. See if you can do the movement in an even rate. That means you go at the same speed the whole time. If there's anywhere that you slow down or you speed up, you need to go back and forth around this place and see what is disordered for you so that you cannot maintain an even speed. So you find that rate of movement, that speed of movement that is comfortable for you, that is peaceful, that you feel that you can do, and then you maintain that both in the lengthening of the leg and then in the bending of the knee and bringing it back up to standing. Just make sure to first bend the leg sideways on its side before you bring it back to standing. You'll see that many, many people bring the knee up right away. That means that there's a lot of work in the leg muscles, a lot more work than necessary. Here we're trying to learn to do this movement with minimum effort. And now listen while you do it, since you became more familiar with the movement. Continue doing the movement and listen to something important. When you bring the left leg back to standing, feel what happens in the left hip joint, in the left lower back, and in the right one. Is there a change? When you let the leg go down and lengthen it, is there a change? A change in the contact with the floor, a change in the relationship of those parts to the chest? And what is it? Does the spine lift off the floor when you let the left knee go down? Or does it stay the way it was before? Just listen whether there's a change in the lower back while you do the movement or whether the lower back stays relatively quietly while you do the movement. And now lengthen both legs and rest for a moment and listen to the difference that you feel between the right and the left side, in the pelvis, in the shoulder blades, in the legs, in the lower back. Is something different on one side of the lower back compared to the other? And of course, you compare that to what you felt when we started the lesson. And now, return to bending both knees, putting both feet standing. Spread comfortably, placed in a comfortable place. And now very gently, let the right knee drop to the right. And then when the sole of the foot leaves the floor and it feels just the right time, start sliding the heel, the foot down and lengthen the leg down. And you can straighten the leg completely or you can just do it partially. And then you can do it fully. Just do what really feels easy so that it doesn't feel a big strain to bend the leg back. And again, while you do the movement, first of all, listen that you do the movement at an equal speed throughout the movement, that you breathe in an uninterrupted way. That means that you do nothing to breathe, you just don't interfere with the breathing. And that you let the leg lengthen down at the same speed throughout the movement, and then you bend the knee back on the side until at some moment you will feel that that's the moment you want to bring the right knee back up to standing. But make sure that you do the movement at an equal speed throughout. For instance, when you bring back up the knee to standing, the right one, don't speed up to do that. And now do this movement really, really slowly. That means do it in a quarter of the speed that you did up till now. 4 times slower. So it'll take you 4 times longer to complete the movement. See, when it takes you 4 times longer, it's much slower. However, feel how much more you can feel when you do it this way. And you can feel much clearer when there is a change in the quality of the movement in the leg, which means there's something going on in the hip joint and in the chest and in the spine and in the way you organize the movement that creates this difference. And now while you do the movement, listen if there is a change in the way the lower back lies on the floor, on the right and on the left, or whether the change is relatively minimal. And as you do this, listen what you do with the whole body, with the back, with the chest, shoulders, shoulder blades, spine. What do you do in order to lengthen the leg and then in order to pull the leg back? But rather than focusing only on the leg, listen to the rest of yourself and see what do you do with the rest of yourself to do this movement. Listen to the mouth, to the breathing, to the ribs, and see which parts of yourself participate in the pulling of the leg. And now continue doing this movement, except this time, while you do it, listen to the left foot. And listen that the pressure on the left foot, the pressure of the left foot on the floor, will not change while you do the movement with the right leg. So you lengthen and you shorten, you bend, you bring to standing and you put back to the side the right leg, and make sure that the pressure on the left leg will stay the same the whole time. That you don't get more or less pressure on that foot. It's possible to do this movement without any change of pressure on the left foot. And keep the two legs bent, bring them back to standing. And listen how the lower back is lying on the floor now with the legs standing. Feel if something is different now in the pelvis, in the lower back, in the hips compared to the beginning of the lesson. And now, once again, do the same thing with the right leg. Let the knee gently drop to the right and start extending the leg the moment you feel it's right for you, except this time, do it so there will be no difference in the lower back. So you might want to do a small movement to begin with, and of course, extremely slow. And you drop like this, a right knee to the side, very gradually. Drop probably is not the right word, but you gradually sink the knee sideways to the right, and you listen to maintain the lower back without any change. That means there's no lifting, there's no arching, there's no change in pressure. There's the same contact of the lower back with the floor throughout. And the way to do that, what's necessary in order to do that, is actually to maintain the chest, the muscles in the chest, completely free the whole time. So you do not do any kind of preparatory motion in the chest that you probably are not aware of that you're doing. What we do when we're about to move and we feel that it's going to be too hard for us, too difficult, we prepare by stiffening the chest. If it's more extreme, we'll actually hold the breath. We immobilize the chest in an attempt to gain safety and a feeling of control. It's also an expression of anxiety that can also, anxiety, that's what we do with it. But even if you don't feel anxious, when we feel, unbeknownst to ourselves, that something is going to be demanding, not easy, the first thing we do is we immobilize the chest. Immobilize means stiffen the chest. So see if you can gradually have the movement really occur in the hip joint, in the leg, and the chest is so free that the weight of the leg does not pull the spine off the floor. Now, of course, we don't expect perfection to begin with. We don't expect perfection altogether. It really is irrelevant. But what we're looking for is for you to actively search for a way to move the leg, to do this movement, and to have less and less movement in the lower back. And just think your chest free, think your sternum free, think your clavicles free, think all those muscles just laying there, not contracted or enlisted into action in preparation for the movement of the leg. And now do the same thing with the other leg. And feel what it's like. Most often, it'll be easier to do it this way with one leg than with the other. We have very different control over one leg compared to the other, usually. So again, you're letting the knee, the left knee, sink down to the floor very, 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 very slowly. And then see slowly straightening the leg a bit and then bringing the leg back. Looking to do it without any change in the contact of the lower back with the floor. And continue doing that. That's excellent. You feel how slowly, you need to really do it slowly so you have time to feel and know what you're doing with your back and chest and whether you're lifting your spine off the floor or not. And awareness is a very new function compared to some other things that our brains can do. And it's a very slow one. Reflexes are by far faster than awareness. Automatic function can be done very fast. Awareness is slow. Once you learn, once you figure out how to do something, it's very useful to move it over to the automatic mode. However, during the learning, awareness is of utter importance. And now have both legs standing and start dropping both knees or sinking both knees to the sides at the same time so that the right knee sinks to the right and the left knee sinks to the left. And whenever it feels right for you, you start straightening the legs a little bit. You don't need to straighten them all the way. If you like to, fine, but you don't, it's really not necessary. And then after you straighten them a little bit, you start pulling them back like this on their sides until it becomes uncomfortable to continue bending the knees like this, and you bring them up to standing. So you make sure that you make it light and easy. And of course you look to do it at equal speed, identical in both legs. And of course you're going to find out that the legs are not identical. However, by listening, you can do it more and more so. Just make sure that your feet are spread, that you don't have the feet together while you do the movement. You always start from the standing position with the legs, the feet spread. When you come down, the feet get closer to one another. And actually, when the legs are straight, they're about the same width as when they are standing. If you don't do any extra efforts, the structure of our body will dictate the distance between the feet. And now continue doing this movement. Just look to leave the lower back alone. That means to do this movement with as little change in the lower back, with as little pull on the spine to lift it as possible. Listen that the breathing continues uninterrupted, and any strain that you might feel in the chest, in the jaw, in the tongue, in the face, in the lips, in the back of your neck, in your shoulders, armpits, hands, fingers, toes, ankles, wrists, anything like that, just let it go. And continue doing this movement. And you'll see that in order to do it this way, it demands a special kind of movement of the legs that is similar to the way a frog swims, the way the frog uses its legs to swim. And continue doing it and make sure that the legs do move together. So it's not like you move one leg a little and then the other and then one and then the other, but that you're actually moving the two legs simultaneously, continuously at the same speed. That's, of course, a whole lot more difficult to do than one would think. And in order to really start the movement together, you need to use your breath. And the way we're going to use it is that you start sinking the knees sideways as you start to exhale. The second you start to exhale, you start taking the knees sideways. And then again, when you start to exhale, you start pulling the legs back up. And that way you can start the movement at the same time in both legs. That way you can train your legs to work together. Otherwise, one leg will always be ahead of the other. In order for it to be truly simultaneous, you need to both train and free all of the back and chest muscles and stop doing any unnecessary movement in the pelvis. In other words, you leave the arch of the lower back quietly, and the movement is done only with the muscles of the legs. Please rest. In other words, what this means is that in this lesson, you're training yourself to move your legs and maintain the chest completely free at the same time. This is of utter importance, because if you learn to do it here, then gradually you can learn to do it in other activities in your life, especially when you are anticipating something to be hard or difficult or challenging or threatening. When you learn to know the difference between activating or enlisting the chest into action when it's not necessary, and when you don't do that, you learn to just breathe as if nothing is happening. So your chest and back continues being as if nothing is going on. Now, I know it sounds contradictory to a lot of what I say, like that we work with our whole body. It is working with our whole body, but it's differentiating the action, is having more say in what kicks in and what doesn't, and in what way. So it's not like you're dissociating the legs from the body, but you're learning to use the legs with the leg muscles with little effort without needing to do unnecessary contractions and efforts. That's true for the musician who plays an instrument and uses the arms, exactly the same thing. Now, when you move your arms and play an instrument, you will move your chest and back, but you will learn to recognize when you do excessive efforts that always interfere with your action. And again, bend both knees, put the feet standing. And that is true for running, and that is true for weightlifting, and that is true for carrying a baby, and that is true for emotional expression. Most of us, when we become emotional, we act in a very undifferentiated way, and we bring in efforts that are totally unnecessary and end up oftentimes being destructive. And now, feel again how the pelvis is lying and how the lower back is lying. And is the pelvis lying differently than earlier? Interlace your fingers. Put both hands behind your head. And lift the head. And see how, again, how it affects the way the spine lies on the floor. And now keep the head lifted. You can lift it and lower it maybe a couple times. So you can feel the difference when the head is down and when the head is up. And then keep the head lifted somewhere where you can hold it for a while. And very slowly sink the left knee to the side and extend the leg. Again, looking to have as little change as possible in the contact of the lower back and the back of the pelvis with the floor. That means that you're training yourself how to move your leg and maintain a completely free, uninterrupted breathing and a completely free chest. And even though the head is up, that means that some of your abdomen muscles are working. The breathing can still be free. The chest can work just as much as necessary for lifting the head, but nothing more. So see if you can just sink the chest. Just feel the chest free, letting go, but keeping the head up. And this time, when you lengthen the leg, lengthen it all the way and keep it long with the head up in the air. And then very slowly start sinking the right knee and lengthening the same way the right leg, so both legs become long. And again, look to sink this leg without changing anything in the lower back and the contact of the pelvis with the floor, or as little as possible. And then return the right leg with as little change as possible, and then the left one. You have both legs long, though. So what you do is you start when you have both knees standing, which is going to take you a few seconds to get there. But once you have both knees standing, you first let the left knee sink sideways, and then you lengthen the leg all the way this time. And then you keep it long, and you start sinking the right knee, and you lengthen it all the way. And what you're looking to do is to do it in such a way that the lower back does not lift off the floor when you move the legs. And you'll see that doing it one leg after the other, you get pretty close to doing it this way. Listen again that the breathing is continuous, uninterrupted. You don't have to think of breathing, just don't get in the way. Lower the effort in the shoulders, in your wrists. Even though you're holding the head, you needn't do more work than you need. And now, when you come back, start doing this movement with both legs at the same time. If the lower back can be left more or less alone, one leg after the other, it can also be left alone with the two legs moving at the same time. But that's provided you do the movement with the same muscles you did one leg after the other, you do when you do the two legs together. The habit is such that when we move both legs together, we strain the back unnecessarily and we lift the lower back from the floor. And this is an opportunity for you to learn to move both legs without creating excessive, unnecessary efforts in the lower back, which over the years for so many people damage the back and bring about pains and discomfort and stiffness and a feeling of aging and limitation. And leave it alone and rest for a moment. And do it in such a way, leave it alone in such a way that you can see whether you can have the lower back stay quiet. When the habit is to strain and activate the lower back every time we move the legs, both of them or one at a time, but definitely both of them, over the years, first of all, what it does, it makes the movement more clumsy than it needs to be, not a very good quality movement, and it spoils both the legs and the pelvis and the lower back. And please bend your knees again and put your feet standing. And now place the left hand behind the head and the right hand below the right knee from in front. So you lift the right leg bent a bit in the air and put your right hand not behind the right knee but in front of the knee, as if you were standing up, you would be touching in the front of the leg just below the knee. Many people, once they lie on their back, sort of lose the orientation of where is up, down, definitely front and back, so just of the knee. So just put it just below the knee from in front, just under the patella. That's very good. And now lift the head and lift and pull the back one towards the other. But with one very, very important thing, intend to not try hard. So you direct the head to the knee and the knee to the head and try to do the most difficult thing in the world, to not try hard, to not try to touch, to not test yourself, to see if you're good or bad, flexible or not, or something, whatever you have in your mind. Simply do the softest, gentlest movement only where it's really easy. Even if it's a thought and not a movement, but just do it only where it's easy. Because anywhere you strain, it means that you're doing a movement in a poorly organized fashion. It means that your chest is stiff and you're trying to bend it even though it's stiff. And that cannot be useful. And now while you do this so gently, pay attention to your lower back and to the breathing. While you bend, let the air come out of the lungs. And only listen to what occurs in your back. The only reason we're doing this movement now is not for you to touch anything to anything, but for you to feel what occurs in your lower back while you do this movement. What do you feel in the lower back, in the chest? And how come you need to make an effort in order to touch? What is going on in the chest that that's the case? And now only change over the hands. That means you place the right hand behind the head and the left hand below the right knee. The left hand is below the right knee, so it goes across below the right knee, the patella of the right knee. And now continue doing the exact same movement very gently. You direct the forehead in the direction of the knee and the knee in the direction of the forehead, gently, only where it's comfortable to do. And you listen to what occurs in your spine, especially in the area of the lower back. And now interlace both hands below the knee and continue doing the same thing. That means that you lift the head and you direct the head to the knee and the knee to the head, and you listen to your lower back. Your left foot is standing clearly on the floor. And listen how you strain the chest the moment you try to bring the head closer than you can. It's the same thing as I talked about a minute ago. That when we try to do something we don't know how, almost always what we'll find ourselves doing is stiffening the chest, which interferes with our intention, interferes with the action. So just soften the chest, soften your intention, soften the whole thing, and listen to the lower back. And now put both hands behind the head and continue doing the same thing. And listen that the knee moves in the direction of the head, the forehead, the head, and the head in the direction of the knee. And listen to what's occurring in the lower back, in the vertebrae of the lower back. And put the right foot standing again, bring the arms down, put the head on the floor, and stay like this. And just listen if the right hip feels differently than the left one. And now slowly let both knees open sideways like you did before. And see if one leg feels differently than the other. If one hip joint feels differently. If one leg moves smoother now than the other. Or not. How does one side of the pelvis feel compared to the other? One side of the lower back compared to the other. And notice if you're able to maintain one side of the lower back closer to the floor better than the other, and which one it is, or is it still the same? And go with the legs like this, back and forth. And put the feet standing and rest for a moment. With the legs standing. And now place the left hand below the left knee, from in front, not behind the left knee, the right hand behind the head. And before you do anything at all, try to not touch. That means do a very delicate, give yourself permission. Take a vacation. Think you're on the beach. You've just paid your airfare. You've paid for the hotel. There's nothing more you need to do, except nothing. So move yourself as if you're on a vacation doing nothing. Waste your time. be lazy. And at the same time, listen to what occurs in the lower back. Listen to the breathing, to let the air come out of the lungs, to soften the chest, to reduce the effort in the arms and the shoulders, and to listen to the contact of the lower back and the spine of the lower back with the floor. And now change over the hands, not the legs. That means that the right hand is below the left knee, the left hand is behind the head, and continue doing the same movement with the same attitude. Vacation. Now, you might be one of those people that really works hard on your vacations, like doing a million activities. So just pretend you're on a vacation where there's nothing to do. No phones, no TV, no classes, no tennis, just the beach and a book. There you go. And now the chest again, and the breathing again, and the lower back again. And if such a vacation would be stressful for you, just think of something else. And now put both hands below the knee and keep doing the same movement. And now interlace your fingers behind your head and direct the left knee to the head and the head to the left knee. Again, very gently, listening to changes in the contact of the lower back with the floor. And put the foot down, put the arms down, and rest like this, and feel how the back of the pelvis and especially the lower back lie now on the floor. And now very, very slowly, let the right knee go down to the right, and then gradually straighten the right leg. But do it only as long as you can do it without any change in the contact of the lower back with the floor. So if you can't straighten the leg completely without changing the lower back, then don't straighten the leg completely. You do it so slowly that you could listen to the movement of the leg so it moves independently, almost, and the back is involved only where it needs to. And when that's the case, the lower back will not lift off the floor. So it's not like there isn't any movement in the back. There is. But it's done in such a way that the lower back stays on the floor. You can maybe imagine your chest like being of some kind of a jello consistency or a thick porridge or something, that when the leg changes position in space, the chest is like porridge. It just sort of melts, continues melting into the ground no matter what you do with your leg. And listen how the breathing has to be very delicate, very light and continuous in order to be able to do this. And now when your right leg is long, slowly, slowly start taking the left leg to the side and lengthening it in the same manner. But first and foremost, you listen to the back. You listen to the lower back. Do a quarter of the movement. Do a fifth of the movement. Do the movement only as long as the lower back continues touching the floor. And again, you don't have to straighten the leg completely. Depends what's happening for you in your lower back. And now have both legs standing, and very slowly open both knees to the sides just a tiny bit and come back. A tiny bit and come back, listening to the lower back, making sure that the back does not lift off the floor. And when the lower back truly can stay on the floor, that's when the legs can truly go together and at the same speed. You'll see that the moment one leg goes or moves faster than the other, at the same time, you do something with the back muscles that moves the pelvis so that it is necessary to stop a bit the other leg. So if you listen to leave the pelvis alone and do the movement only with the legs, then you can coordinate the movement with the breathing and do move the two legs exactly simultaneously. And in order for this to happen, it's a lot more difficult than we think originally, because then the whole chest and the spine need to be without any movement which is unnecessary for the movement of the legs. We really need to clean all extraneous movement in the back and the chest. So it's fine to not reach the ideal, because the process of getting there will create huge improvement already. And now put both legs standing and sink the left knee and extend it to the, make it long, and do it as well as you can, or maybe a little less well than you can, so you don't get too intent on it. And then bring the left leg back and do the same thing with the right leg. And look if the movement now, when you don't even try to do it perfect, is by far better than it was earlier. So it's like, it's wonderful to get a prize of $1 million, but getting 100,000 is pretty good too. So we work in increments of $100,000 here. And now extend the right leg and the left leg after it. So you have both legs long and see how that is. One after the other, not together. And then return them and then do the left one first and the right one after. And feel, pay attention to the wonderful feeling in the body, in ourselves. Once we start using, contracting only those muscles that we need to contract for the action, and all those extraneous movements are not done, see the fantastic feeling that one can get in one's body. And now put both feet standing and feel the width of the contact of the lower back with the floor now. And slowly roll to your side and get up on your feet, on your legs, and pay attention how you're standing after this lesson. Feel how you're standing, and walk around and feel who is carrying you now. What are you carried? Who are you carried by? Feel this feeling. And I'll meet you in our next lesson. Thank you.